Greetings to each one this morning. It's good to see each one of you here. I, along with Dale, want to say thank you for your help and what you did on Thursday. Help along with the funeral. God bless you for each one for that. As I was thinking this last couple weeks, knowing my turn was coming up to preach and considering what I was going to talk about, asking God what He wanted me to talk about, and of course, this weekend, July 4th coming up, and we think about, my thoughts went to Independence, and I was there for a little bit, and then my thoughts went on to freedom, and that's what my subject is going to be this morning, is on freedom. If I ask you the question, what is freedom, what would you tell me is freedom? What would you say freedom is? The ability to make choices. Ability to live as we believe we should. Okay. I looked it up in Webster. The definitions of what, if you were to look in Webster, if you were to ask people what freedom is, there were different ones. Defined by Merriam-Webster, the absence of necessity, coercion, or constraint in choice or action. There was a group of high schoolers that were asked for what freedom is, and after some discussion, the agreement was this: freedom is being able to do what you want without restraint. There's another dictionary definition that said freedom, the power of right to act, speak, or think as one wants. The second definition goes slightly further in claiming the independence that we see printed all over our kids' t-shirts and water bottles today. I am my own person. Be who you want to be. No one has the right to tell me how I ought to live. Free to choose gender and sexuality, free to have multiple partners, free to choose when to die, free to choose whether the unborn baby should live. Patricia Sampson boldly stated this: self-reliance is the only road to true freedom. According to Patricia, to live in freedom is to be God of your own life. Warrior's Way said it this way: freedom from constraints of society, freedom to do what we want to do. Freedom to be not just what we want to do, but freedom to be who we were meant to be. That's how the world looks at freedom. This is exactly how Satan painted freedom to Adam and Eve in the garden in Genesis 3. He said, "Did God really say, you should not eat from the tree? From the fruit of the tree. Don't listen to God. Follow your heart. Follow your stomach. Don't live life within the boundaries. Life is short. Live your dreams." Satan still offers today. His offers look the same today, and they're as empty as they were in the Garden of Eden. In Luke 12:13, Jesus warned of this life. Jesus said, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Then he went on to tell the parable of the rich man that tore down and built his barns because he had plenty. He said, I will do this. I will tear down my buildings and build larger ones. And there will I store all my grain and my goods, and I will say, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. Jesus said, so is the one who lays up for treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Matthew 16:26 says, "For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will a man profit if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul?" Satan offers great things, but has nothing great to give. The world says freedom is being able to do whatever one would like. Yet, they find something missing. They find emptiness, and they are less seeking something they will only find in Christ. This morning on the news, you hear Baltimore, someone was free to do whatever they wanted to do. And yet, that leaves others free, not free, to go on and continue life like they would like to do. Humanity without Christ has a sin addiction. Ever since the fall of man, when humans listened to Satan, they did what the flesh wanted. If you were to tell an alcoholic the way to be free is to drink more alcohol, or a person that's addicted to drugs to say, "Well, just take more drugs, that'll take care of it," we would all agree that's absurd. And yet today, that's much the answer that we find around us today. Just do what you want to do, and it'll fix what's wrong. There's an ever-growing movement in our society, and it's not new. This was clear back in the New Testament, because a number of the different apostles addressed this subject, and it was a word I had never heard before, and I had to figure out how to say it, and I'm hoping I can say it here. The word is antinomianism. And basically, what the word means is opposite of legalism. It means against the law, against God's moral law, or lawlessness. In America today, people are interested in life made easy. We like everything easy. There's a strong trend to do what I want to do, and nobody can tell me different. In the workplace, the employer can't tell the employee what to do. The officers can't enforce the law. And there are many more. And this carries into the church. And in other words, you go to heaven by grace alone. This salvation is easy. It takes little on our part, little sacrifice. It looks attractive because it doesn't require much, doesn't require one to change. Packer, in his book to Theology, distinguishes between six different variances of antinomianism. The first one is dualistic, and these are the beliefs that would follow along with this. This salvation is of the soul. There's no resurrection of the body. And because the body and soul are separate, therefore you can sin with the body because the soul is already saved. It doesn't require you to live a holy life. Second is spirit-centered. What matters is not what Scripture tells me. I'm a spiritual person filled with the Holy Spirit. I am above the law and Scripture. I am led by the Spirit. The Spirit can overrule the Scripture. Therefore, the Spirit can contradict Scripture, and I just do what the Spirit tells me. Third is the liberal. These reject the Scripture as God's Word. They say there are no absolutes. There is no God. Thus they say there is no absolute law of God. The fourth one is situational. What you need is the inner motive and intention of love. As long as you intend to love, you may disregard the law of God. The fifth one is Christ-centered. The believer is united with Christ. He is in Christ, and his life is hid with Christ in God. God sees Christ, who kept the law perfectly, and God sees the believer through Christ. Therefore, the believer can violate God's law because it makes no difference, because God sees Christ. And the sixth one is the modern type. In order to be saved, you must receive Jesus as your Savior, but you do not need to receive him as Lord. So as saved Christians, you need not obey the Lord Jesus Christ. You're safe as long as once upon a time you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior by faith. Grace alone is all we need, thus allowing sinful lifestyles to continue, is what these people would say. As I said before, this isn't new. This is something the apostles addressed. In 2 Peter 2:22, Peter addressed it, and he was talking about the false teachers. And then he used the proverb and said, "The dog returns to its own vomit, the sow after washing herself returns to wallow in the mire." James also said in James 2, "What good is, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds?" Jude said, "Certain people have changed the grace of God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus as our sovereign Lord." And John says, "If we claim to have fellowship with the Father yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth." What does this have to do with freedom? There is so much today, offering today, that God wants everything for you. He wants you to be wealthy. He wants you to be free, free of sickness. This week I was talking to someone about, they were asking about my family, and I was telling them about my family, and they held out their fists, and they bumped fists, and they said, because you and I agree on this, they're going to be healed. There's a quick, easy, self-pleasing offer for freedom today that allows one to do what they want and to be free. And this is a false hope. Freedom is not being able to do whatever the flesh wants. As we have seen from the beginning of time, it lets a distaste and anger towards God, because people believe, or people feel like that's what people were told, and then God doesn't do it, and they become discouraged and angry at God. What is freedom? Genesis 2:16-17. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." This is freedom. Freedom to choose on how you will live your life. You can choose if you want to be sin-free. You can choose who you want to serve. If you will serve God, or if you will serve Satan. You and I can't offer the freedom. As we think of July 4th, we think of freedom in our country. Our country could not offer us freedom until that war was won. There was a price paid until they were able to offer freedom. Partial freedom that we enjoy today in the country we live in. God also paid a high price for your and my freedom today. Freedom from sin. Freedom from the bondage of sin. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." I can tell you where the freedom comes from. I can tell you how to find that freedom. But but I can't offer you that freedom. It's God who gives that freedom. Joshua called to the people in Joshua 24. He called the people to make a decision on who they would follow, to make that decision. He said, if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The people replied, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our fathers up from the land of Egypt out of the house of slavery. Joshua went on to tell him, you are not able to serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins if you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods. Then he will turn to you and harm you and consume you after having what you had done. And the people said, no, but we will serve the Lord. True freedom is a choice. Each person must make that choice for themselves. If one is looking for freedom without restrictions or boundaries, I'm sorry to tell you, it won't be found on this earth. But we can be free from the bondage and the slavery of sin. Galatians 5:1, for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. I alluded back towards the beginning that man has a sin addiction. I heard someone describe it this way. Christ came, and when we accept him and ask him into our life, he has taken away the addiction. The flesh is still attracted to sin, but our desire has changed, and now we desire God's way instead of being addicted to the ways of the flesh. When I was in Puerto Rico, there was a man that came that worked along with the group that I was there, and he had been a former alcoholic. And he was quick to tell you that he wasn't going to have a drink, and he was quick to tell you that it was the devil because of where he had come from. He had been slave to alcohol, and he had found freedom. And he also was quick to say that if he allowed himself to turn back to it at all, it would take nothing at all to be right back where he had come from. We had an addiction, and it has been broken, but there's still the attraction to sin. As long as we are on this earth, we will fight temptations of the flesh to some point. Paul gave us the example of that in Romans 7. He says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree that the law that is good. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For that I will do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For the good that I would do, I do not do. But the evil I would not do, that I practice. Now if I do that I will not do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that is evil, that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. We see Paul with a desire, or with the loss of sin addiction, to do what is right, and yet remains the present of the sinful nature warring to do what it desires. In Matthew 16:25, Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever who loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each of you according to his works." In Galatians 5, I read the first verse there. And then in verse 16, I'm going to read verse 16 to the end of the chapter. It says, "This then I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that ye cannot do the things ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and the such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the past, that they which do that such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, longsuffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions of the lust. If ye live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, or envying one another." Christ gives us freedom from the power of sin, but it takes a decision and an effort on each one of our parts. So what is freedom? First of all, we must remember we are strangers and pilgrims where we are in this land, where we live. In 1 Peter 2:11, Peter said, "Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, that ye may see good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation." Hebrews 11:13 also says, "These died all in faith, having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land which they had gone out, they would have opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city." If you were to go into a different country as a sojourner, you're not offered or entitled to the freedoms that they have. As we walk on this earth, we're seeking another country. We're sojourners. Not entitled to the freedoms that come with citizens. Again, this week we're reminded with Miss Francis, she has freedom. True freedom comes not in this world, but when this sinful body is left behind and we go to spend eternity with our Savior. It's when we get to heaven that the definition that Merriam-Webster gave is true. The absence of necessity, coercion, or constraint in choice or action. It's when we get to heaven The sinful body is gone, and we have complete freedom. There will be one thing that we'll be looking forward to doing, is praising our Savior. It's the thing we will want to do. In Revelation 7, verse 15 to 17, therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb is in the midst of the throne, will be their shepherd. And he will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. That, my friends, is freedom. In Revelation 22, verse 2, through the middle of the street of the city, also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. As I read that verse in Revelation 22, we think back to the Garden of Eden, when man made the decision to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and it was the tree of life that was blocked. God in his goodness, God in his love for mankind, he did not want to see mankind in his fallen state, and he blocked the tree of life. And again, when life is finished, and we get to spend eternity, be able to eat of the tree of life and to live forever, that is freedom. So as we go through life here, let us not be enticed by the ease, by the things that are being offered that look easy. But let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking for the day that we will spend eternity with our Savior. In the faith of grace. You can stand. Father, today we thank you for your love. Thank you, Jesus, for being willing to come and to die on the cross for us. And thank you for your love, even when man chose to sin in the garden. And yet you made provision that we can be free from the bondage of sin in our lives. And we look forward to the day that we can spend eternity in true freedom, away from the sinful life, away from the temptations of sin around us. We will worship you. God, I just pray that you would give us strength to run the race, to live our lives. God, I just pray for each one here today, that you would bless each one, pray that as we go from here, as we go through this week, give us strength to stand, give us strength to live for you. And as we come into contact with people through this week, if you would share your goodness and true freedom to them, to each one, that you give us opportunity to share with. So God, I just pray that you would bless each one as we go from here today. Thank you for your love.